When we started to understand the Bible and the teaching of God's church, we learned many new truths. The Bible started to open up to us. We found that we did not go to heaven or hell when one dies. That was a complete surprise to me. I'd always been taught that we go to heaven, and if we're very bad, and we might go to hell, and didn't understand too much about, well, heaven's a nice place, hell, don't know much about it, and did not know much about it. Also learned that Christmas and Easter were pagan, and that Saturday and not Sunday was holy time. And that changed things dramatically for me, and I'm sure for you, if you were came in that way into God's church and was living a certain way, and you had to change your way of worshiping God. We learned about tithing, we learned about God's holy days, and very much more. And all this knowledge meant a whole new way of life, and that life had an awesome purpose, and we learned what the purpose in life was. We also came to see one very important and vital key to salvation. And we learned that salvation is God's gift of eternal life, and that key is overcoming. Is overcoming. Growing and overcoming. On the last great day, in the last sermon, Mr. Bryce talked about our sevenfold calling from God, our sevenfold commission. He highlighted seven areas that we can work on that are important to us. The first one was daily prayer without fail, that we pray to God, that we get down on our knees and we pray to God, and we pray at other times. Just talking to God, praying to God, asking God, beseeching God at times. The second one was daily, diligent Bible study, the importance of Bible study as we read God's Word, as we study God's Word, and we go about it in a diligent way. We don't want to miss any day of study, and to read it and to drink in of it, to apply it where it is applicable, and to know that there are many things that we read about that will come to pass, like prophecy. We look for that. We look at things that we will be able to do when born into God's family. And so we study God's Word is so vital, so important for us. The third one was we must be overcoming. Overcoming. The fourth one was to do our part to finish the work. To do our part, and we all have a part in it. And we're privileged to have a part in God's work as we've had for many years. And to continue on that work of preaching the truth, to preach a warning message to the world, and how encouraged we are, and it's brought to us, and we hear about the responses that come in from the internet, from the website, and from the magazine, from the broadcast. And we're encouraged by that, and we do our part, and we give as we're able, financially, and we like to do that, we enjoy doing that, we want to do that. And it is something that we can get great pleasure in and privilege to be part of God's work and to see it right through and to finish the work, to finish the work and complete the work. The fifth one was to be savory salt, be the salt of the earth. And to be shining lights was the sixth one, to be lights in this dark world. And the seventh one was we are to be goodwill ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We don't always remember that. I know I forget that at times and shouldn't forget. It's easy to forget that. And so when you're out in company, when you're out, you're representing that government. And that government is going to come to this earth, but it's not here yet in the way that, of course, it's going to be when Christ comes back. But we are representatives of Jesus Christ, and we're ambassadors to represent that government that is coming. So on overcoming, Mr. Bryce said, God requires us to overcome. He said that. That's a requirement for us. It's not something that we have a choice. It isn't something that, well, we come to the truth and we come to understand certain things and we would live by them and that we would practice that. And then we will overcome a little bit and then we say, well, that's it. That's enough. I now am in the church and I do keep the Sabbath and I do keep the holy days, and I strive to obey God, and I'm doing pretty good, or I could do a bit better, but we don't really work on it. we came to see that it wasn't a question that that's the way I am, and it's okay to remain that way. That was not the attitude that we could ever afford, and we came to understand that there was something that we had to do. Mr. Bryce also said that he said, don't pull out the oars out of the water. Don't pull our oars out of the water and just sit back. We've done the rowing. We've done the work. Now we can just rest and take it easy and just sit back and say, well, that's it. No, we can't do that. Now we know that we are to change. That's what we have to do. We have to change. And that overcoming was a lifetime process. It was a lifetime process of overcoming. And it's not something, as I said, that we can just say, well, that's enough, and that's okay, we've done enough. Now I'm a certain age, and I've been so many years in the church, and we can say that's it. I'm now an elderly person, and I've done my overcoming, and that is it. Because it's only those who overcome are promised eternal life, those who overcome. And membership in the family of God and rulership over the nations on this earth. If you turn to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, we'll just break into here. This is in Revelation 2, verse 7, where John is talking here about addressing these letters to the various churches. And we know they apply to us, as it did to that particular era. This is the Ephesus era. But in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 2, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And we have an ear, and we want to hear. And we never stop hearing what is said to the churches and what is said to us throughout the Bible. It says, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Yes, the tree of life, God's Holy Spirit, and we are partaking of eternal life. So it's about eternal life there, and overcoming and eternal life go together. And in the same, in chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death, will not be affected by the second death. And the way that comes about is being in the first resurrection. And in the first resurrection, the second death will not be hurt, will have no effect, will not apply, it's not applicable. We will then be resurrected. And then near the end of this chapter, in verse 26 of Revelation chapter 2, it says, he who overcomes, he or she who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. That's talking about endurance. That's talking about holding on to my works, the things that God shows us in his word that we are to be doing, the things that we have been taught. It says, to him will I give power over the nations, power over the nations, and they shall rule them with a rod of iron. Yes, that's with authority and power. But also mixed with authority and power will be great love and concern. Great love and concern for the peoples of various nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessels shall be broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father. So there's overcoming there in rulership. We're going to rule. We're going to have that opportunity. If we're faithful right to the end and keep the works, and continue to endure on the path that we started out on, and we will continue on that path. John also mentioned this in his epistle about overcoming in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verses 4 and 5. In this first epistle, John is talking about overcoming. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, whosoever is born or should be begotten of God overcomes the world. So somebody who is truly begotten, truly led by God's Holy Spirit, overcomes the world and would be overcoming the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It says our faith, or your faith, the faith really that comes from God but being exercised by human beings. So the world then wasn't a good place. John was seeing the influence of the world around him, and how much we have that in a different way. Now it is brought to us through the media. The media are onto everything now. They want to make a program out of everything, every little thing, and they will do that, and they will want to bring it into our homes, and also, of course, all the other things that they want to bring in as well. And we have to overcome that, overcome this world. In 1 John 2, just to back a little bit, to 1 John chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, John writing here, he says in 1 John 2, verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. You understand these things right from the beginning, and I've explained them to you, and they had been taught them these things about Christ, about the Father in heaven. He says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Satan's influence was there, and he saw how that they had overcome. They were faithful and overcome Satan the devil and all his ways of getting to people and his tricks and his influence. He says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father, and I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. Yes, you are strong, you are faithful, you are strong in the faith. And the words that you hear, the words from God, the words that I have taught and others have taught, faithful ministers, abides in you. It is there. It's part of you. You have overcome the wicked one, an overcoming of Satan and this society. And that's so important. The Apostle Paul brings out a very important point in overcoming. And he mentions this in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and we commence in verse 19 to 21. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God takes care of these things. Paul is reminding the Romans, and we read today, Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That's the way to deal with your enemies. And then he goes on to say, Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So Paul is saying here, we've got to overcome and overcome the wrong things that we see. Yes, we've got to overcome our problems. We have to overcome what people will say and do and act against us. But he says, but overcome evil with good. So you have an enemy, you have somebody who's out to get you. You don't retaliate back. You don't sort of say, I'll get even with him or her. No, you won't. You'll be kind and considerate and helpful. But we can apply that principle then to overcoming in a wide area too, that we can overcome evil with doing good, which is something that we can use. So that's very important. So the people of God are overcomers. God's people are overcomers, and they take their calling very seriously. It's a serious matter. And we take that seriously, and those in God's church, in the enduring church of God, take our calling very, very seriously. And we know that we are to be overcoming. And we overcome our faults and weaknesses, and so we go forward. We stop overcoming and we'll go backwards because we cannot stand still. We can't just sort of stand still or just keep marching in one spot up and down and not go forward. So we have to go forward. So going forward, and we've been exhorted to do that continually, to keep going forward, and we know that is towards God's kingdom and doing the things that are laid out in His Word with the help from Almighty God, who wants to and does give us the help and the strength to keep going in a forward direction. So going forward, we're overcoming. As we overcome, we're going forward. They go together. We all have to overcome problems and weaknesses and sins. We have them. We do have them, brethren. And the people of God know and understand that overcoming means ceasing from transgressing God's laws. We have to do that. We have our shortcomings and our weaknesses. Now, we can measure ourselves against some of the things that we could talk about as sins. And when you talk about lying, do we lie? We would say, no, we're not lying. We are careful in what we say and what we would pass on. And we want to be accurate in what we say. Sometimes we can say things believing it to be true, but finding out later that it was not accurate, it wasn't true. But the intent was not to deceive. The intent was not to lie. And we try to be as accurate as we possibly can. But I know that there's times that we are told something believing it to be true and not to be true. And it might take going back and correcting that, or it might not. We have to make a decision on that. It can be very small things, but we find out that we were wrong. Stealing, you don't want to steal. But we can fall down on that. I know I did things looking back in the past, and I was in God's church, and I was stealing very small things, but nevertheless, stealing. And you kind of think, now we've stopped stealing or cheating. We don't want to cheat, and we don't cheat. Drunkenness can be a problem. It has been a problem with God's people. Just over-drinking, over-consumption of alcohol. And now we can say that we do not, and we are controlled. We have that self-control. And so we control our drinking habits using coarse language. Maybe in the past we were guilty of that, no longer. Of losing one's temper. Again, that's very much a lack of self-control. And you can say, well, what's wrong with it? Well, you lose control of the situation. If you're not in control and you lose it and you react in a certain way, whatever it is. And I know that I have lost my temper, and I suppose most of us can say we've lost our temper at some time. And in the past, and even in God's church, there's been certain situations, and you kind of say, that's wrong. I should not have done that. And you repent and you work on it and say, I don't want to do that again. You try to overcome it. Sometimes it can be a bigger problem for some people than other people. Some people have their weaknesses in certain areas, other people would not. And that's why we don't want to be judgmental and say, well, look at that person. I'd never do that. Maybe you wouldn't, but you'd do something else. But we don't want to do that. So we have to have our control, to be in control of the situation. It's a wonderful thing. Tremendous blessing. Tremendous ability. To be always in control and to say the right thing and do the right thing and be in control, to be very measured in your response. And certain things, if you have to make, and this is maybe straying a little bit, but getting into decision, you don't want to overreact immediately. And it's always a good thing to just sleep on something and have a night's rest, and you can see things differently the next day and you don't react quickly, and able to control one's emotions, pulling down of others and saying things about others and pulling them down. We don't want to do that, and we don't do it, and we've got away from it. But we're not perfect. Gossiping is another area. You have to be very, very careful. I know in times past, it was so prevalent in God's church. And I'm glad to say that it is not that way now in God's church. Not that I'm aware of. And I don't hear it, and I try very, very hard not to get into gossiping and to watch what we say and what we say about other people, being very, very careful. Another area is being judgmental. Don't want to do that. In the past, I did it. I did that. And why couldn't people be like me? Why could they not be, you know, look at that and look what they're doing? But also, of course, we need to know, and not losing the understanding of what is right and wrong. And there are rights and there are wrongs. And we know that we do things that we shouldn't do. So a good part of overcoming is sin. However, there is more to overcoming than just putting out sins. There's more to it. There's more things that we have to do. Because really our whole life is there of overcoming. And when we get into the difficulties of life and the problems of life, which we do have from time to time, because it is the abundant life, and God is blessing his people, and we are richly blessed, but also has its problems, its trials, its difficulties. We have to overcome them. We have to keep going and be persevering in different areas of our life. And that is part of overcoming, just persevering, staying with it, and seeing things to the end, doing it all in faith, trusting in God, having the patience, and trusting God that He is there and He'll work all of these things out. Now, the pioneer of our salvation, Jesus Christ, said this in John chapter 16 and verses 32 to verse 33. John chapter 16. Christ was talking here to disciples before He was going to be taken and then to give of His life for all of mankind. And He was saying these very encouraging words overall to the disciples. He was encouraging them. He was explaining things to them, but He was also telling them things that were not always easy. They heard these things, but overall, very encouraging, very strengthening, what Christ was saying to the disciples. And we pick it up here in John chapter 16 and verse 32. He says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, and has come, that you will be scattered." You're going to be scattered, which wouldn't be maybe too exciting. You'd be away from Me. It says, "Each to his own," going in his own direction, "and will leave Me alone." You're going to leave Me alone. And they probably didn't like to hear that. "And yet I am not alone." Christ was telling them, "I'm not going to be alone, because the Father is with Me." Christ had that total confidence that all that had happened, and the Father had been with Him and demonstrated that over and over throughout His life and throughout His ministry, and then that He was going to be with them in the severe trial that was ahead for Christ. In verse 33, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you will have peace." You're going to have peace. And that's in Me, in what I've shown you, what I will give you, and you will have peace in all that I have taught you. "But in the world you will have tribulation." Well, Christ was telling them straight. He was saying straight to them, "You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Take confidence in this. Be encouraged by this. I have overcome the world." Christ overcame this world. He had overcoming to do. He had to overcome. And He did. He did. And just go back a little bit in what He said a little bit earlier, and we can go back a little bit here to John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. And He had said these words maybe only minutes before He had said that, what we've just read. But He told them this, and He gave them very clear instruction here, and we can read it as well. In John chapter 15, verse 4, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me." You abide in Me, be close to Me, and this was going to continue on as they were given God's Holy Spirit. It says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And he who abides in Me and I in him bears much fruit." You have to go and bear fruit. But how do you do this? "For without Me you can do nothing." You can do nothing. And they understood that. And they remember that. And they were to keep going forward and keep bearing fruit, and with the help that would come from Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ lived on this earth for 33 and a half years and never sinned once. Never sinned once. He led a perfect life. No bad or sinful habits to master. No sins to master. Nevertheless, Christ had to overcome. He had to overcome. The Apostle Paul tells us about this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. And Paul says, "For we do not have a high priest," speaking of course of Jesus Christ, "who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." So Christ can do that. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He sees that we are weak. We're weak human beings. and we'll always be weak compared to God and to Jesus Christ. And we have weaknesses, and we don't overcome all of them. But we strive to, we want to. But was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Christ knows what trials are like. He knows what it's like of living on this earth. And he was there to overcome the problems and difficulties that he had. And he did have them. He had adversities. He had difficulties. He had things. And just to go back to just over the page in my Bible here to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 17 and 18. Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 17. Therefore, in all things he has to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, and he was and is, in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, and in that he himself has suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid those who are, it says tempted, or a better translation is tested, rather than tempted. Of course, we are tempted, and there are temptations that do come. But we are tested, and he is able to strengthen us, to help us, to aid us through that. But he had to do that, and he knows what it is like. Christ knows that. So he had to overcome adversities in life. He had to overcome disappointments. I believe it's John chapter 6, near the end of that chapter. It says, many walked away. Many of the disciples walked away and left Christ. And he saw them. They said, we can't take any more of this. We're out of here. And they were gone. And they didn't return. And then he turned to the 12. And he says, well, what are you going to do? And it was Peter who spoke up then. And he says, no, we're not going anywhere, paraphrasing. You have the words of eternal life. And that was, of course, very encouraging, no doubt, to Jesus Christ. But to see the others just go and many to depart and were not willing to stay there, it was disappointments. The world and worldly things continue and tested and tempted Christ, just in the same way as we're tried and tested and tempted. Because Satan is always active and is trying to overthrow, and he was then overthrowing Jesus Christ. He tried everything to catch Christ out. And Christ would be confronted by the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were always picking at him, trying to catch him out. What a rotten attitude they had. And Christ had to deal with them. And I'm sure that every early morning he would be on his knees praying to his Father in heaven to give him the strength, to give him all the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit, that he will be able to deal with these people and to be able to do it in love, but at the same time to be strong and forceful, at the same time to teach the disciples examples that he was setting them. So to Jesus, overcoming was a day-by-day, if you like, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute process of overcoming the different things that he had to deal with. And he dealt with them in different ways. They had questions for Christ, the Sadducees, Pharisees, and he would answer them. Sometimes he didn't answer them, because he asked them a question. They wouldn't answer him. And he says, well, I'm not going to answer you either. And just walked away, no doubt. So Christ rejected every wrong thought and temptation. And he was able to do that. And he was always on his guard against Satan. And he was always aware, no doubt, of Satan and what he was trying to do. And we have to do the very same things, brethren, in that way. We have to be on our guard. We have to be on our guard all the time. And I know there's times that we have time to think out something. We can think it out pretty good and make the right decision. But something that catches us out is something on the spur of the moment. It suddenly happens. And we react, and we don't react maybe in the way that we would have if we had time to think it out. And we are very nice to people, kind to people, but if they do something suddenly, catches out, we don't like it, we can react, and maybe not in the way that we would like to. So we have to be always on our guard. So we have to be doing these things, brethren, with God's help. And it can be frustrating at times, when we look at ourselves sometimes, how can we ever make progress in certain ways, certain areas? How can we do that? Maybe we would look at ourselves and say, I seem to be going backwards, but are we really? Are we just being too hard on ourselves? Because we have to have a balanced approach in overcoming and growing, to be balanced in it. Not to tell ourselves on one side of it that we're doing pretty good and we're okay and we're just sailing along, or the other way that we are hopeless, that we're putting ourselves down, that we don't see progress, and we can be disillusioned. We don't want that either. That's on the other side. To be too hard on oneself. But I think we do have to be hard on ourselves in a right way, in a controlled way, but not to be just saying that putting ourselves down and beating ourselves up. That's not what God wants, but he does want us to overcome and always be working on ourselves in a balanced way. We don't have to be, you know, always thinking, I've got to overcome this, I've got to be working on that. Oh, we go and we should enjoy life, but there is a time. There's a time to look at ourselves. There's a time maybe in our prayer, in the messages that we hear, and we analyze ourselves and what we see is brought out to us, and we would then say, well, I can do better in that area and I want to do better. But we can take heart in overcoming, knowing that overcoming even for God's diligent servants was very difficult, and they needed God's help. Good example here is in Romans chapter 7. Mr. Bryce has been going through Romans 7, and we're certainly finding it a wonderful book, and he's bringing out so much for us. And we can just look at a little bit here of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 and verse 14. We can just read on in this here and see the attitude that the Apostle Paul, and here he was writing, and we believe he was writing in about 55 AD, and he was converted on the road to Damascus in, we believe, about 35 AD. That was 20 years later he was writing this. 20 years serving God and working with God's people and teaching them, and here he is 20 years later writing this. And what we read here in Romans 7 verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. He was talking about the nature that he has, that he was carnal. Did he mean that he was carnal in so many ways? No. In the way of just breaking God's law continually and just living any old way of life? Certainly not. But he said he was sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. And what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You know, brethren, we can identify with this and what the Apostle Paul is saying here, this struggle, this battle that we have with ourselves, with sin. Verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. I know it is good. I know God's law is good. It's good for me. But now I am no longer, verse 17, and no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Sin, the problem, the weakness, the human nature that he had. He says, for I know in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. And all the carnal, fleshly way is contrary to God's way, as he says in chapter 8. For to will is present with me, but now to perform what is good I do not find. This was this battle that he had. Verse 19, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. So he had this battle on his hands. And then he says in verse 24, O wretched man that I am. That's what he said. O wretched man. You know, this is where I am, and I slip up and I fall down, and I'm not overcoming, and I have things to do. But, and he kind of was maybe lamenting here, O wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Where is it going to all lead? And then he answers it here. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so he's coming around here to see that, well, there is a way. And even though it's hard and we fall down, we have tremendous hope. And this chapter 8, that Mr. Rice just brought out in a wonderful way, it is a chapter of hope. I also thought about it as it's a joyous solution, if you like, to the pulls and the slipping up, and not overcoming in the way that we would like, and being maybe discouraged at times. But then we go on and we read chapter 8. And Mr. Bryce has encouraged us to go over and over this chapter. And it is so powerful. And there's so much in it. And it is of hope and of confidence. And if we were to remember more and more of it, it will give us tremendous strength. And when Mr. Bryce was talking in this chapter, he mentioned it a number of times, growing and overcoming. Because we do have Jesus Christ who intercedes for us. And it is God who is going to make it all possible. But we have our part, brethren. We have our part. Paul worked hard to overcome his human nature, but it wouldn't stay overcome. And he worked hard on it. And he would control himself. And he would look to God for all the help. And he could see there is a way out. And even though we are determined to overcome sin and to obey God's law, the downward pull of human nature is still strong. It is still there. It is still powerful. And all those things that we can read about of human nature, we can turn there to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. We'll start at verse 16 of Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit. That's what we do, to be more spiritually minded. More spiritually minded. And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So that's a way of overcoming the lusts, is to walk in the Spirit. That's very positive. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. There is that conflict. There is that battle. You know, brethren, we can never say that sin is overcome and that's it and we can forget all about it. We can keep it under subjection. We can keep it down and it doesn't affect us. But we do have to be watchful. We do have to be always alert because it can come up and it can flare up and it can get us. A good example again would be losing one's temper. You know, for all the times that we would live, we wouldn't lose our temper at all, and then suddenly it flares up. It's a bit like a weed that cannot quite kill. It's hard to get weeds out. Their roots seem to go right down deep. We get a lot of sun, and it burns the grass. We had it this summer. We had a dry and hot spell, and it started to burn the grass, but the roots seem to be still there. The weeds seem to be still there, and my understanding and don't understand too much about gardening and all the different things, but their roots go down deep of weeds, and they can get the moisture still, even though the sun may be very, very hot. And we know that some of the things that we have to root out go down deep, and they're hard, and they're difficult. So what is lurking in the hearts of human beings? Well, Christ explains this in Mark chapter 7. And he is explaining here, I believe it is to the Pharisees that he's talking here, but he's also explaining this to the disciples in verse 20. We're just breaking in here just to see what does come out of a mankind and in the heart of people. What comes out of a man that defiles a man? This is what really is. For from within, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, deceiving, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defiles a man. They're what's really in the heart. And we know that the Apostle Paul, in Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, he goes through more as well and talks about the things that are in the heart of mankind. So keeping and suppressing these sins and wrong attitudes is a full-time job, brethren. It's a full-time job. Because overcoming is character building. Learning to say no, and then not doing whatever it is, or I have to do that, and you do it. Mr. Armstrong put it this way. He says, character is coming to know right from wrong and choosing the right, but in a simple way. Character is coming to know right. So we have to learn what is right from wrong, what is right, what is wrong, and then choosing the right, and then going all out to do the right. We know we don't earn salvation. That's a gift from God. But the position that we'll have in God's kingdom is determined by our overcoming and growing in character. That is important. But you know, overcoming is so rewarding. It is so rewarding, brethren, to be able to overcome and to see it in others. And I think Mr. Bryce has said, and he said that one of the most encouraging things for the minister is to see people growing and overcoming. People doing the right thing, people obedient to God, serving God, close to God, but changing, becoming more like Jesus Christ, little by little, is so rewarding for the ministry, but it's also rewarding for each one of us. Whereas all we do that, and we say, that's good, I've overcome that. Yeah, but we've got to keep on top of that and watch it. So growing and changing is a lifetime effort. No matter how young or old we are, we've got to do that. God requires us to grow and overcome, no matter what age we are. So what about the small and lesser problems? We can have wrong thoughts. Very easy having wrong thoughts. Wrong attitudes. Negative thoughts. Worries. Wrong fears. They go on in the mind. We have to work on those things. Very easy to have. The tongue. To use the tongue always edifying and not to tear down, not to hurt, not to gossip. Because it is an unruly evil, as James calls it. Unruly member. Hard to tame. Easy to speak. When the words are out, they cannot be taken back. So we have to watch what we say. We have to watch negative thoughts. Maybe envy can creep in. Resentment and jealousy. They can be there. We have to keep on top of them. And we recognize them. We say, no, that's a wrong thought. I don't want to have that thought. Put it out. That's a control and a self-control that we would like to have. So it's impossible for you to overcome and to conquer them. You kind of feel, oh, I can't do them. Well, let's consider a number of steps here, a few steps in the time remaining. A number of steps in overcoming. The first one is to recognize your sin and faults and weaknesses. Recognize them. To recognize them and see them. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 3. Christ is speaking here. And he says, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank or the beam in your own eye? You have shortcomings. And it's easy to see the faults in other people. But we don't see them in ourselves. We don't see them in ourselves, and we have to do that. So we ask God to show us our shortcomings, our faults and weaknesses. Some of them we know. And we recognize them. And we hide them. And others don't know of those things. And they don't have to know. That's not something that we want to display and come out and say, oh, I have all these weaknesses and I have all these faults and I have this sin. No, we know them, we acknowledge them before God and we work on them and we recognize them. In Psalm 19, the attitude of David here in Psalm 19, we could read a great portion, but we can just pick out the pertinent and try to. In Psalm 19, and I've got verse 7 here. He's talking about the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. And David here certainly acknowledges God's great law and his statutes. He says, the testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. And the statutes of the law are right, rejoicing the heart. God's ways, God's laws rejoice the heart. They're good. We know that, brethren. We know them. We've lived by them. And they bring great rejoicing and happiness to know that we are obeying God. And they bring the fruits of obedience. It says, the commandments of the eternal pure, enlightening the eyes. We're enlightened through God's laws and commandments. And then he goes on to talk about other things, about the fear of God, but we'll just drop down to verse 12. It says, who can understand his errors? He says, cleanse me from secret faults, things that were secret that he couldn't see. He wanted to do that. And that's the attitude, brethren, that we should have, of wanting to recognize them and see them. If we were to go around and to ask someone, tell me my sins and faults, well, it depends how well people know you. But maybe your wife, your husband, know your faults and secrets that are apparent secrets, but they would know them, and they could point them out. But we do all slip up, but we want to see them, and we have to recognize them. The second area is desire and have determination to overcome them. We want to have that desire and determination to overcome them. We want to really do that. We want to be determined. We want to work on that. We want to do that. And so we want to have that desire. You know, when we listen to the Bible study of Mr. Bryce going through that eighth chapter of Romans, and you hear the things and the attitudes that we would want to have, and how short we come up on them. But we can, brethren. We can work more and more overcoming and having a less physical approach to life, and have more of a spiritual approach to life, and we can work on that. To overcome the weaknesses, the shortcomings, yes, but also the things that to overcome and be more on the positive things as well. It's not about all of getting rid of things, yes, but also of working on the things that we can see and clearly understand and has brought out to us, and have that great desire and determination to overcome whatever area it is. We can turn to 2 Peter 1 verse 10 and we can have a look at that in Peter, the writing of the Apostle Peter. And it says 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. You have to be diligent about it. We have to be determined, desirous to make our calling and election sure. And one of those ways is overcoming, is growing. For if you do these things, and he's referring back to faith and virtue and knowledge and so on, and self-control and love that he mentions in verses 5, 6, and 7, to have those things, you will never stumble. You keep there foremost in your minds, you will not stumble and fall, and you'll fall away from the truth eventually. But to have them in mind and to keep them in mind. So to be determined, to have that determination. The third one is to build on your strengths, to build on your strengths. And we all have strengths and we have weaknesses. But remembering what it said in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, about overcoming evil with good, we could say overcoming weaknesses with strengths, and using your strengths to overcome, to using strengths to overcome, brethren. And that's what we have to be doing and wanting to do. And to recognize that we do have the strength and we are strong in a certain area and we develop it that more and more. That doesn't mean we neglect the weaknesses and the shortcomings that we have, but as we build the strengths that we have, we will push out the weaknesses in a certain area. If you have a certain strength in showing love, and you kind of feel, well, I neglect the brethren, but your strength is love, then you will work up that love, generate the love that comes from God to overcome maybe not thinking of others as much as we should, and recognizing too that in that area that if we are so inward and working on ourselves so much that we don't think of other people, you have to be balanced in overcoming, because you can be obsessed with self even in overcoming. We have to be balanced in that way. And not say, I've got to overcome this, and you push out other things. But overcoming weaknesses with strengths. The fourth one is we need help to overcome. We need help to overcome, and it comes from God's Holy Spirit. From God's Spirit. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, no one has seen God at any time, seen the Father at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit, or his Spirit. But God has given his Spirit to us. It's there to be used, and it has power, and has the power to help us to overcome and grow, and to develop in the right way, and to go it in a balanced way. So we need help to overcome. And so we get down on our knees and ask God for help continually, and help us in all different areas. And if it's a way of neglect in certain areas, we ask God to help us, and we want to overcome and neglect in our own lives, in our relationship with others in God's church or other people. So that's what we have to do, brethren. We need God's help. We recognize that, as Christ needed to have the help from the Father continually. And he said that. Christ said that he could do nothing. We can read about that in John 5, verse 30. And he said that he could do nothing. And the fifth area then is to resist the pull of human nature. We catch ourselves on. We will stop, say, no, I don't want to do that. That's wrong. We know that God teaches me to do this, or I've heard that I should do that, and then we do it. We're alert to it, because the world is all out there. It is a trap, and we have to live in it, brethren. We're not taken away from it. We're in the world. We're living in this world, but we're not part of its system. We don't want it. We have rejected its system, its government, and Satan's way, but it is a trap, and we have to be alert, brethren. We have to be on our guard continually, brethren. We have to be doing that. Satan wants to destroy the church, brethren. He would like to destroy us. He would like to destroy you and me. And we have to be alert. And we have to be very, very careful. We have to draw close to God. We have to do these things. So growing and overcoming is something that we have to practice, that we have to do. And we hear many sermons. We hear many sermonettes. We hear Bible studies. And we hear things that we love to hear God's truth expounded, but we have to act on it where it is applicable. As Mr. Scott Rice mentioned in the opening prayer, to act on things. Of course, not everything that we hear we have to act on straight away. Sometimes it's something maybe on prophecy, and we want to understand that. We could act on something in watching world news and being careful to spot what is going on in the world and doing that, yes. We can use what we do here. And maybe in a sermon, we would take a sermon or a sermonette or something in the Bible study, we hear so much said, and just take one point. We can take more than one, but at least one point. And you look at it, and you consider it, and say, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to overcome that weakness, whatever way it is. I'm going to do something with it. And you start to apply it. You take a note of it. You write it down. You look at it and say, I'm going to do that with God's help. And he will help. And you know, God is there to help us. That's for sure. We don't doubt that. We don't doubt God is there, and he's willing to help us. He wants to help us. He has tremendous love for us. And that is brought out over and over and over. God has a tremendous love for us, and we have to be working on ourselves in that way. So we take something in a sermon, in a Bible study, and we work on it. And we can take at least one point, maybe two, maybe more. And of course, we hear what is said, and we consider what is said. We're strengthened by what we hear or what we've heard. And we go back and we play it again and again and again, if it's that possible, on the disc of the sermons that we've heard. And we have many wonderful sermons that probably you have now in your library. We have it here. And we go back and we play them. And we listen, and we're encouraged and strengthened continually. And by the Bible studies that we have now, and so many Bible studies have been given by Mr. Bryce and Mr. Abbasolo, And I think we did hear from Mr. Jonathan Bryce as well. And they're wonderful. They're all there. So much knowledge. So much to work on. But to be balanced, to be not discouraged, and we shouldn't be. We should not be discouraged in any way, but we want to work on ourselves. But God is always there to help us, brethren. He is always there. God does not switch off and say, well, I've had enough. Or you can't reach me. God will hear our prayers. We're close to Him. And we are there in prayers, studies, doing study, reading His Word. Being close to God in that way, He's always there to help us. We have to exercise that help. We have the mind and character to overcome and grow. We have that mind. God has given us a mind. He's given us His Holy Spirit. We've gained character. We have grown. We have overcome. We've overcome a lot, brethren. And there's more overcoming to do. And we can grow and become more like Jesus Christ. Overcomers, you see, don't give up no matter what comes their way. You're an overcomer. That's what we are. We're overcomers, and we're not going to give up. And it doesn't matter what comes our way. And I know trials do come. Hard times come upon God's people. A lot of good times, wonderful times, enjoyable times, where we can rejoice and be happy. And there's also difficult times. And there are times that we have to dig deep, and we look to God, and God will see us through. He's there. Because Jesus Christ can literally think back to the time when He had similar or maybe the same problem. Christ had that. He had to overcome the world. He had to overcome the things that were going on around Him. And Christ can remember how He called out to His Father in heaven for spiritual strength and energy and power. He had to call out. And we have to do the same. You have to do that in resisting sin, resisting the difficulties and the problems and the trials that he had and the temptations. And he cried out to his Father in heaven. And so, brethren, we have to do the same thing. Yes, overcomers are very special people, very special group of people in God's eyes. He certainly loves us, and we're very precious, and we're special. Because of many things, including being overcomers. And just in the final scripture here in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 7. It says, He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter. But its overcomers shall inherit all things. What a wonderful promise, and what it all means, that God wants to bless us and give us a far higher level of life than we have now. So, brethren, in order for us to enter the wonderful and glorious kingdom of God and be part of the God family for all eternity, never stop growing and overcoming.